It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk with a guest who says the local food movement is failing to protect the workers it so heavily relies on. And she says that needs to change if we want to support ethical eating.
First, it's primary day for a handful of states throughout the country. Voters in Kentucky, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arkansas, Idaho, and Oregon are taking to the polls. And the results will set the stage for some of the big races this November.
A handful of closely watched House, Senate, and gubernatorial primaries are at stake, with results offering clues to the direction of the November election and a look at the future of the Republican Party.
Joining us now with a look at what to watch for today is Steve Shepard, campaigns and elections editor for Politico. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start off in Kentucky, where Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell faces a Tea Party primary challenger. What are you watching for here?
Well, mostly we're watching for Mitch McConnell's margin of victory. Tea Party challenger Matt Bevin's campaign has largely fizzled out. Mitch McConnell has been very, very aggressive. He spent roughly $10 million on this primary of his vast war chest, and he still has in the high single digits very likely remaining in his bank account for the general election. Most polls show him leading by around 20 points, so that we'll have to see his margin. He needs to unify. In Republican-leaning Kentucky, he needs to unify GOP voters in order to win in the general election against Alison Lundgren Grimes, the Democrat who's going to have money to go basically toe-to-toe with McConnell come the general.
So 20 points seems like a pretty generous lead there. If he does prevail, as it looks as if he will, is it kind of a no-brainer that Tea Party supporters will come to his banner?
Well, Mitch McConnell's been in Kentucky for a long time, and his personal approval ratings and favorability ratings are not very good. He's not very well liked. Most polls show, while he's up by 20 points among likely Republican primary voters, when it comes to the general election, he's at best in a tied race with Alison Lundgren Grimes. So he does have his work cut out for him in the general, but for tonight, it's largely about his margin and to what extent he's able to consolidate that Tea Party support tonight.
And so you're going to draw lessons based on how big the margin is.
That's what I'm looking at right now, and that's going to, I think, give us our biggest clues about the extent to which Democrats can be competitive come November in Kentucky, which is not usually a state in which they're very competitive in federal elections.
So what would be a number that would give you some pause and say it's looking pretty competitive?
I think if he wins somewhere between 55 to 60% of the vote and Matt Bevin gets into the 40s, then you can look and say that there's a really sizable percentage of Republican primary voters who want someone other than Mitch McConnell to be senator come next year.
Hmm. Well, let's move on to Georgia. It looks like heading toward a runoff there. Who's looking strongest?
That's correct. If no candidate earns 50% plus one of the vote tonight, there will be a runoff in July. Right now, the strongest candidates are self-funding businessman David Perdue and Congressman Jack Kingston. They are the two most likely to make the runoff. A close third, though, is former Secretary of State Karen Handel. She's been supported by Sarah Palin and some conservative Tea Party-leaning groups. She has a chance to make the runoff. There are two congressmen who are a little bit lesser known who are likely to finish fourth and fifth right now, Congressman Paul Brown and Congressman Phil Gingrey. The interesting thing here is that for months, Republicans were very worried that either Brown or Gingrey would get into the two-way runoff and consolidate the conservative Tea Party vote. Both of them have a history of making some controversial comments, and with Michelle Nunn, the Democrat, daughter of former Senator Sam Nunn, so well-funded for the general, Republicans were worried that even though Georgia is another Republican-leaning seat, that they could have their work cut out for them if the nominee was someone that they didn't, you know, the establishment didn't really want. In this case, though, with Perdue has a lot of money, his own money. He's a former CEO of some big companies, including Dollar General. Jack Kingston is the choice of business. He's been endorsed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and he's the best outside fundraiser in the race. So if you've got those two candidates in the runoff, Republicans who are worried about potentially losing the seat, they're going to feel really heartened that one of the nominees that they want is going to advance to the general election.
To what extent are you looking at all the results in these primaries and trying to gauge the strength of the Tea Party?
Well, there's another primary that we're really watching here, and that is in Idaho's 2nd Congressional District. Representative Mike Simpson is running for re-election. He's a friend and ally of Speaker John Boehner, which means he's drawn the ire of a lot of Tea Party groups who aren't happy that with the way Boehner's led the House and some of the votes that he's forced House Republicans to take that have in which he's passed bills like bills ending the government shutdown with a minority of Republican support. The Club for Growth, a conservative-leaning outside group, spent big for Simpson's opponent, an attorney by the name of Brian Smith. That spending, though, ended in late April as groups like the Chamber of Commerce came in for Simpson big, including a very expensive TV ad they aired featuring an endorsement on video from Mitt Romney for Mike Simpson. That's another race in which it appears there's very little polling in this Idaho House race, I would caution. But it appears, based on the spending trends, that the establishment has successfully beat back the conservative outside groups, the Tea Party groups. But obviously we'll have to see how the election results pan out because, like I said, there's not a lot of polling.
And there is a pretty, I guess, interesting is a mild word, gubernatorial primary in Idaho as well with some really interesting figures. This went viral. Some people said it ran like something out of Saturday Night Live. What happened?
Well, so Butch Otter is facing a primary challenge. He has one challenger who's a state legislator, and then two challengers who I would say a generous term would be a little bit more eccentric. If you haven't seen the video, I recommend checking it out. They provided a lot of comic relief to the debate. They sort of belie the Butch Otter did not run up a huge margin in his last primary victory in 2010, and he's faced some criticism from Republicans in the state for deciding to set up their own state health insurance exchange. Some Republicans regard that as acquiescing or participating in Obamacare, which is anathema to a lot of what they believe in. But he ran a TV ad defending that to Republicans, saying that we were going to do this the Idaho way, not let the federal government take over. He's hoping that is going to be an argument that carries the day. And like I said, if you have not seen the video of this debate last week, I seriously recommend checking it out.
And let's see, in Oregon, let's go there next. We've got a Republican primary that for weeks sort of looked like a lock for a candidate named Monica Wiebe. And now that seems as though it could be a little bit in question. Catch us up there.
That's true. So in recent days, both Democratic groups and both my news organization, Politico, and also the Portland Oregonian, discovered some old police reports dealing with Monica Wiebe, who's a pediatric neurosurgeon. Republicans were really, really excited about her candidacy. Even though Oregon is a Democratic-leaning state, they felt she had a very unique biography and could potentially put Senator Jeff Merkley's seat in play. But in recent days, there two police reports have been unearthed. Charges were filed in neither case, but in one, an ex-boyfriend accused Monica Wiebe of entering his home and basically stalking him. In another police report from divorce proceedings with Monica Wiebe's ex-husband, he accused her of harassment and other mild violence towards him. The one catch here is that Oregon votes entirely by mail, and a good chunk of the votes had already been received by the Secretary of State's office before the first of these stories even broke. So it's unclear to what extent they're going to have an impact on the actual election returns.
So it's possible that this is a scandal, if you will, that broke too late to make a difference.
Potentially, though, the fact that, Democrats have become a little bit concerned about Monica Wiebe's chances of putting the seat in play. They claim outwardly that Jeff Merkley is still well-positioned for re-election, but she does have a compelling biography. She has run some very, very good TV ads that involve parents talking about how she saved their child's life. They're very, very compelling. And, Republicans do think that if she can emerge from tonight's primary, that she has a chance to put the seat in play, particularly if the national environment remains favorable. And also, there's one other factor. In Oregon, the state had a very hard time setting up its health insurance exchange, so Republicans expect the health care law to be less popular there than it is nationally.
Steve, as you watch the returns from these primaries tonight, what are the big questions that you're hoping they might, if not answer, at least sort of hint at a direction?
Well, we're seeing, like we talked about in Georgia and Kentucky and the Idaho House race, the potential for the results to confirm that the establishment has successfully beat back some of these insurgent Republican groups. So look at Mitch McConnell's margin of victory. Look at which two Republicans, if it's Jack Kingston and David Perdue, who advanced to the Georgia runoff, that will be a good sign for establishment Republicans, and if Mike Simpson wins re-election. Beyond that, if Republicans hope they can get the candidate they want in the Oregon Senate race, that will bode better for their chances of winning the Senate back, as will getting the right candidates in Georgia, or the right candidates as viewed by some groups. The other thing I'm also looking at is the Pennsylvania governor's race. We didn't talk about this, but there's a Democratic primary to take on Republican Governor Tom Corbett. Corbett is basically the most unpopular Republican governor or governor of all altogether in the country, and the most vulnerable governor in the country. Democrats are excited about a self-funder by the name of Tom Wolf, who spent $10 million of his own money and has a pretty substantial lead in the polls leading up to the primary. The primary turned a little negative late, so we'll see if that brings Wolf's margin down or if he wins running away based on the strength of all the TV ads he's been running on the air in Pennsylvania since February.
All right, Steve, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Steve Shepard. Steve Shepard is a campaigns and elections editor for Politico.